the newest member of the New York Islanders enjoying his summer, but now he has to move countries. Just fine by him, I'm sure. He joins us now. It's Andrew Walker. It's Ben on a Sportsnet 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So do you got your, what's your process? Do you got your U-Haul? Did you look into pods? You can, you know, give them all your
what
stuff and they'll do it. It's the new technology. It's the best. How are you moving?
You know what? I haven't really thought about it. We've started to look at some places, but, you know, it's nice for me. My home in the summer is Calgary, so a lot of the stuff's just going to be moved here, and we'll worry about getting there, find a place, and most likely just rented stuff.
Yeah, I guess you're not really like us. We got to take all our stuff, but you just keep your place and get a new place.
Right. That's simpler. Duh. And then furnish that one, and then just have, two places.
No, we're more worried about renting. I think that'll be what we do. Obviously, being from Canada, this will kind of be home base in the summer, so I can't imagine that New York will take a hold of me and make me stick around. But, you know, I'm really excited about the opportunity to go there and play and with a good team and hopefully get a great chance.
You're a longtime Oiler, and it's funny because so you play your junior hockey in Regina and, you know, you summer in Calgary, you play in Edmonton. Your hockey world, in a weird way, hasn't been that big. Like, this is really the first time you've stepped out and played in a place maybe you weren't familiar with. Does it feel new? Do you almost feel a bit of a rookie mentality?
No, for sure. Like I said, I've kind of been in this bubble as far as Saskatchewan and Alberta. I've been lucky that way. My family's had a chance to come watch me lots. But, you know, I'm excited. I think the farthest I've been to play is in the lockout in the Oklahoma when I went down to play in the American League. But, you know what, I know a lot of the guys on the team. Obviously been in the league for a long time now and know what to expect as far as the travel there and the guys I'm playing with and the division and whatnot. So I'm just looking forward to this new chapter. I think, like I said before, I'm going to get a great opportunity to play there. I think we got a great team, and you know, change is always sometimes a good thing.
The OKC year was so funny because that was, you know, Oiler fans and hockey fans' first real exposure to Justin Schultz, and I think he won Defenseman of the Year playing 35 games or whatever it was down there, and then the season begins. And then Justin fell out of favor at Edmonton, and now look at him, right? He's going to cash in back-to-back cups in Pittsburgh. He's evidence of, not that you went through exactly the same thing, but sometimes a guy needs a fresh start, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like since I've been at Edmonton, there's been, you know, one guy a year that they've kind of gone after a little bit and you know, changed. But Justin, you look at and how he's done. Obviously, when we were in the American League, Justin, it was like playing with Bobby Orr. He would just go end to end and score, and you know, he just got to Edmonton, and you know, a couple things didn't go right, and guys got on him a little bit, but he needed a change, and look how he's doing now, right? He's got two cups, so sometimes change is good. I think evidently you look at the NHL, you're not obviously going to play for the same team your whole career. It's very rare, but I enjoyed my time in Edmonton, had a great time, met a lot of great people, played under a lot of great teammates, coaches, whatever, but sometimes change is good.
Who is the first guy to reach out? Like, what is a conversation? Maybe it's Garth Snow. What does that conversation look like the day of the trade? They've been searching for years for a line mate for Tavares in New York. Is that just obviously you?
You know, I think the conversation was quite short, to be honest. It was just basically you got acquired and we're excited to have you. And, you know, that day when you get traded, it's my first time going through, it's a bit of a whirlwind. Obviously, there's a ton of media you got to do. We're getting a ton of texts. It kind of rips by pretty quick. So, you know, I've talked to, like I said before, I know a lot of the guys on the team just from playing world championships, world juniors, or whatever. Hockey world's pretty small. You know a lot of the guys, and they've reached out to a lot of them. And like I said, I'm excited.
What actually happens to your phone on the day you're traded? And how did you actually find out? Because I got to figure it was shocking. And, like, where down the list of priorities was responding to Andrew Walker's text for you?
You know what? It's I must say, I run the music at the gym where we train at.
That must have been quite a remix.
Like for a summer job?
No, just between for the workouts. And I went to go change the song kind of in the middle of the lift, and I had a call from Craig McTavish. So I told my trainer, Crash, I probably needed to take this. And so I went and took the call, obviously found out, and came back and finished my lift and tried to stay somewhat focused, and then I think I came back to my phone. I had about you know, over 100 texts. So it's the hockey world, especially in Canada, is very small. You know a lot of people, and you get to, you know, meet a lot of great people and teammates. And, you know, it's funny how it worked out. But like I said, I'm excited how it worked. I apologize, Andrew. You know,
No, you don't need to do that. I don't respond to his texts, and I'm nobody.
I think I had like 80 texts, and I just kind of gave up at one point. And I did a huge conference call at one point. I thought maybe you guys would have been close to on it. So,
no, all good. We're glad you're on today. You've had time to kind of ruminate on it a little bit. So, okay, so I don't know the backstory here, so I'm just going to do my best detective work. Your Twitter bio says number 7 for the New York Islanders. You wore 7 in, so this is what I'm going to think what happened. You wore 7 with the Pats. I'm thinking it's your number. You come to Edmonton. Paul Coffey wore 7 in Edmonton, so you had to pick a new one, and you moved to New York. Now, Thomas Hickey wears 14 there, but obviously there wasn't, like, so Hickey told me there was no offer made. There was a discussion, and you basically, you said, hey, I'll walk from the number, and you did.
Yeah, so, yeah, growing up, my number's been 7 my whole career. As a young kid. It was my favorite number, wore it in junior. I was able to get it my last 2 years, and then World Juniors, my first year, Angelo Esposito was wore 7, and so I was just given 14, and obviously I wasn't complaining. I made the World Juniors, and I was pretty excited. And World Juniors went pretty well. I couldn't switch for the next year when I actually had a chance just because of how the first World Juniors had gone, and then 14 was given to me when I went to the Oilers. So it just kind of has been stuck with me. Basically, it was a Hockey Canada is where I first had worn it, but I always said that if I ever got the chance to wear 7 again, I'd throw it on. So I was pretty excited. Actually, when I got traded, I got home right away. This is one of the first things I looked at was if I could wear it.
You played World Juniors? What year was that? I don't remember that.
Did you have any big moments?
Did you enjoy it? He is Jordan Eberle of the New York Islanders. So I assume you saw the report today. Now, he's not going to be eligible to sign it until July 1, but Connor McDavid's going to break Twitter. He's going to break the bank 8 years. 13.25 per season, which is about 17.4% of a total cap. You played with Connor. You played with Connor for a while. Can you, you know, put that into perspective for us?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a generational player. You know, when I got traded and he texted me and we were talking for a while. You know, one of the things I said is I'm going to be able to tell my kids one day that I got to play with you. I mean, he's that special of a player. He's a great guy, and he's the leader of that team, and he's going to do great things. And you know, it's nice to see he's well compensated for what he's doing. So I told him today when I found out that obviously he's going to get a sign done. He's coming to my wedding here in a few weeks. I said, no longer an open bar for you. You're the only one who has to sign. So he's you know, like I said, he's a good friend, and he's a great kid, and he deserves everything he gets.
What kind of a wedding are we looking at here? Because we're in Toronto. There's a new general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Bobby Webster, and kind of made big news about the type of wedding he had in the Hamptons, and it was very
hipstery. It was a wishing tree.
Yeah, there was.
They released butterflies.
And you're going to the hipster capital of the world here, Jordan. So I don't know if there's something changing from what you used to be, the Western Canada guy. What do you got planned for the wedding?
No, I'm still a Regina kid at heart. We're getting married in Calgary, and you know, it's we both have very big families, so a lot of it is families and then very close hockey friends. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's more about enjoying the day, and I'm sure we'll be able to do that.
Before we let you go, you know, it was a tumultuous year for you, and you were always the guy, and you know this, you know, Mr. Clutch, and we always said, hey, when Jordan Eberle gets to the playoffs, you know, look out, he'll be new Justin Williams. And listen, it was a great season for the Oilers, and you went through it a little bit, and then there was trade rumors, and here you are, it's a fresh start. As you leave, and you know what, you'll go back next year, the Islanders will play at Rogers Arena, and they'll be, or Rogers Place, and there'll be a huge ovation, much like when Taylor went back with New Jersey. But as you leave Edmonton, how do you define your chapter as an Oiler?
Well, for me, I mean, obviously we went through a lot of tough years. You got to thank the Oilers, you know, tremendously. They kind of gave me a start there, gave me an opportunity as a young kid. I enjoyed every minute that I had there. Obviously, we went through some down years, but I kind of grew into the player that I am there, and I think that the biggest thing for me, even though personally it wasn't as successful as I wanted it to be, but getting a chance to play in the playoffs that last year, and I played with a lot of guys my first couple of years who had been through the 06 run, and that's all they talked about was how great the fans were and how loud it was. And if I hadn't got that chance to play in the playoffs and experience what it was like last year, that would have been a really, really big bummer. So I was really happy I got to go through that, play with a lot of great teammates. And for me, I'm kind of feel like it's time to move on, and obviously I have that opportunity now. So, but it was a great place that I got to, you know, build my game, and it was a hell of an opportunity that they gave me.
Well, all the best in Brooklyn. I'm sure we'll talk to you, and enjoy the summer, and good luck with the wedding.
Yeah, grab some skinny jeans.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yes, granola. You're gonna eat a lot of granola in Brooklyn. That's how it goes.
I appreciate it.